Good morning and welcome to church. If you're visiting us, we're delighted to have you, whether you're visiting church for the first time in a long time or you're just here for the morning, we're delighted to have you. Welcome, and we pray that our time together, your time with us this morning, will be a great blessing and a great encouragement to you. There's two things about this morning. The first is that it's the last day of the year, and the second thing is that it's very hot. So I'm going to try and talk about the first, the last day of the year, and to help us to do a little bit of reflection, but I'm very mindful of the heat, and so we'll try and do it in a reasonably brief way. So how about we pray and ask the Lord to speak to us and reveal Himself to us. Lord, on this last day of the year, it's an important time for us to look back and to look ahead. We think of that moment when you found Hagar in the Old Testament beside the well, and you said, and you ask the question to her, Hagar, where have you come from and where are you going? And this is a really important moment for us this morning to think about those two questions. Where have we come from? What's happened in our life? And where's the direction that we want to be heading? As we trust you and as we obey you, where is it that we want to go? So thank you for this opportunity where we can take a few minutes out to pause, to stop, consider, reflect. As we look at this story that we've read earlier in the service, we pray that you would speak to us and open our hearts and our minds to be able to hear what it is that you want to say to us this morning. We realize that we're often busy, we're thinking about all the things that we have to do, but Lord, just for a couple of moments, may your mighty hand, your powerful hand come upon us and give us peace and a quietness to be able to hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, in a few hours, the calendar will flip over into a new year. 2023, with all of its joys and sorrows, its achievements and also its failures, will soon be left behind. And 2024 will mark the start of a new chapter in our lives with all the challenges and opportunities that that will bring. Now, just because New Year's Day is, for Christians, it doesn't have any particular biblical significance, it doesn't mean that we can't use this moment or this day to pause and to evaluate our lives. I think it's actually a really important moment, a really important opportunity that we can use to consider where we're going. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 90, verse 12, Moses prayed to the Lord, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul said, look carefully at how you live. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly. Make sure you understand what the Lord wants. So this morning, what I've decided to do is to choose this simple story from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 17, the story of the 10 shepherds, the 10 lepers, I apologize. Luke chapter 17, the story of the 10 lepers, to help us reflect, to pause and to consider how we're going in our walk with the Lord Jesus and what we need to be doing, what we need to be adjusting in 2024. And in particular, what I want to do this morning is to be thinking about living a life of gratitude, of giving thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. So let's have a look at the story. If you've got your Bibles, please open them up, because what I have to say is not that important, but what God has to say in His Word is of utmost importance. So grab a Bible. There are some in the pews in front of you. Would love for you to follow the reading this morning. Now, when it comes to gratitude and to thanksgiving, the first thing that this story tells us is that we need to remember who we were. So have a look at verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And he was going in, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." What I want you to notice, there is this group of 10 men, and they all share one thing in common. They were all lepers. In the Bible, leprosy is always a picture of the condition of our lives, or the condition of our hearts. Leprosy is a disease that disfigures your body. So it attacks our members. So it begins to cause rotting of our flesh. It causes decay. And eventually it leads to the loss of limbs and fingers and hands. It is a terribly disfiguring disease. In the Bible, there was no cure for leprosy. As you read through the entire Bible, you will never find that anyone was cured from leprosy except those that God cured through His miraculous power. But there was no medicine in the days, or in Bible times. There was no doctors who could do anything about leprosy. There was no remedy. There was no solution for it. On top of that, if you had leprosy, you had to separate yourself from everyone else. So to be a leper meant that you were socially outcast. So I want you to notice in verse 12 that these 10 men are not in the village. They're actually on the outside of the village. They weren't allowed in. Jesus meets them as he's approaching the village. And notice in verse 12 as well that they remain standing at a distance. They stood at a distance and they shouted out, they called out to Jesus. If you had leprosy, you had to isolate yourself. You had to call out. You had to warn others who were coming close that you had the dreaded disease. And it meant that in your relationships with others, you were separated. There was so much pain at every level. But not just separation from others. As we read through the Bible, there was separation from God. You weren't allowed to go into the temple. You weren't allowed to go and worship before the Lord and to pray. You weren't allowed even to enter the city, let alone enter the temple. And so here we have these 10 men. All of them have the disease of leprosy. They share this dreadful disease, this disease that leads to misery. And as we read through the Bible, we discover that leprosy in the Bible is a picture of the condition of our hearts. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. There is no cure for our hearts. There is no cure for the wickedness of my heart, for the waywardness of my behavior and my actions and my thoughts. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter what we try and do, it doesn't matter how hard we try and please God and reach out to Him, the Bible reminds us again and again that by ourselves we cannot do anything. So the first thing the story teaches us or reminds us is about our spiritual condition. Now the second thing I want you to notice in the story is that the story reminds us of what happens when we call out to God for mercy. So notice in verse 12 that they stood at a distance, they call out, verse 13, in a loud voice, and they say, Jesus, have mercy, have pity on us. Now this is a plea for help. They've got nothing to offer Jesus, they've got nothing to show. This is the most simple prayer in the whole of the Bible, and I think that while it is the most simple prayer, it is also the greatest prayer that a person can pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, please help. Have compassion. If you remember the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who went up to the temple to pray, the Pharisee stood in front of, right in the temple, stood in front of God, and with all the confidence in the world, outlined all the reasons why God should listen to him and be happy with him. And then you remember the prayer of the tax collector. What was it? Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's the simplest prayer in the Bible, and yet it is the greatest prayer. These 10 lepers, this is all they could do, was to call out to Jesus and to say, Jesus, please help us. What I want you to notice is in the story the way in which Jesus responds to their call for mercy. So notice in verse 14, when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priests. Not one of the 10 were turned away, not even the Samaritan. We'll talk about him in just a moment. As we read through this story, we realize that Jesus impose no conditions, no requirements. He just saw their condition in verse 14. Notice those words. He saw them as they were. And without asking anything from them, he responded to their request for help. You see, the story reminds us that when we come to Jesus and we ask for his mercy and for his compassion, he never turns us away. Doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you have screwed up with God. If you come to him and you ask for his mercy and compassion, he will never, ever turn us away. Amen. I agree with you. Hallelujah. And notice that in the story that they all needed to respond. So it says in verse 14 that when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priests. Now, the reason why Jesus sent them to the priests was that in Bible times, the priests had the job of pronouncing a person free from leprosy. Now, priests couldn't cure. They couldn't do that. They didn't have the means or the ability or the power to be able to do that. But they had the job of inspecting a person to make sure that leprosy had gone. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 14, we read there's a whole chapter of all the things, all the duties that the priests had to do in order to inspect a person and to make sure that they were free from this deadly disease. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't heal them on the spot. Did you notice that in the story? So Jesus says to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now, as they start out walking, do they still have leprosy? The answer is yes. But they have to make, at this moment, they have to decide if they're going to respond to Jesus, if they're going to trust him, if they're going to be obedient to him. And so we are delighted as we read the story to discover that all 10 of them decided at this moment, decided that they would obey Jesus, that they would trust him, and they would move out and go and see the priest. And we read in verse 14 that as they went on their way, they were cleansed. Now, we don't know how exactly that happened, but it must have been, just use your imagination for a moment, it must have been an amazing journey. To start out walking with no visible changes, for the leprosy still to be there, but as they're journeying, as they're going along the way, one of them takes a look and discovers that something's happening. And he calls out to the others and they start looking and they're all beginning to discover that they are being cured as they go along the way. So, leprosy is a reminder of our spiritual condition before God. Sinful to the core, rebellious, without hope. But the story also reminds us this morning of what happens when anyone calls on the name of the Lord for mercy. He shows compassion. Now, what I want to now focus on is the remaining half of the story, because this is what the story is really about. It's not so much about the healing, though that's really important, but it's the response. So half the story is about how these 10 lepers responded. Now, verse 15 says that one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, as they're going to the temple and as they are being healed, one of the 10 decides to turn around. Now, this must have been a very, very interesting moment. Once again, I want you to use your imagination and just think through the story. Why did the 9 keep going and the 1 turn around? We're not told. Luke doesn't tell us why. And we're not sure why the 9 continued to go to the temple. Were they eager to get home and to see their families? That's understandable, isn't it? Do they just want to go home, visit their wife, be able to hug their wife, to be able to sit down with their children? I don't, in that regards, I don't blame them for wanting that. And yet notice that Jesus is disappointed in verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God? So despite all the excitement and the enthusiasm of these 10 lepers, Jesus was saddened, he was disappointed that only one returned. And he asked the question, where are the other 9? And this story is a really important reminder for us this morning that not only, if we are Christians, not only did we have a dreadful spiritual disease, not only did we call out to Jesus in compassion and he answered us immediately, but it is a reminder that to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, is to respond with thanksgiving. Personally, I think that it was only the Samaritan who returned who became a follower of Jesus. Notice what it says, verse 17. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Now notice that Jesus doesn't say those words to the other 9, just to the leper, to the Samaritan leper. He says, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Now, as you read through the story, you think, aren't the others well now? They're cleansed from their healing. But clearly, in verse 19, Jesus is saying something to the Samaritan that the other 9 will never hear. You see, to be a Christian is to actually respond to Jesus with thanksgiving. It's to respond to him with all of our life. It's to say to Jesus, Jesus, I had no hope. I didn't deserve your compassion or your mercy. But you listened to my prayer, to my request for help, and you gave me what I needed. I cannot repay you, but I want to say thank you. That is what being a Christian is about. It's about living out a life of gratitude. And so our lives should be characterized by a deep sense of gratitude and thankfulness to the Lord Jesus. Notice the leper in the Samaritan in just go back to verse 15. He comes back praising God in a loud voice. There is an exuberance, a joy. Verse 16, he throws himself at Jesus' feet. So earlier in the story, what had he done? He had stood at a distance. But now that he has experienced the healing of the Lord Jesus, he comes to Jesus' feet and he throws himself at Jesus' feet, and with his voice, with his words, he thanks the Lord. It's a beautiful picture of gratitude. Christians ought to live a life of gratitude. And returning to give thanks to God should not just be something that we do once in our life. It should become a lifestyle. Again and again and again, we should be lifting up our voices to God in thanksgiving and gratitude. Charles Spurgeon once said, he said, I do not think the church rejoices enough. We all grumble enough and we groan enough, but very few of us rejoice enough. Would you agree with that? We're very good at grumbling. I think grumbling is one of Australia's great pastimes. We grumble about the weather, too much rain the other day, now it's too hot. We're grumbling about all kinds of things, and it just becomes a way of life. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, we've got so much to be thankful for, haven't we?
Yes.
We do. Amen. We do. We have so much to be thankful for. So let me just talk briefly about a couple of practical things, practical ways that we can be thankful this morning. Here's the first one. There is a big difference between gratitude and thanksgiving. Let me explain that. Gratitude is a feeling. You know, if you slept in this morning and you woke up refreshed, you're still on holidays and your husband made you a cup of coffee, you might post on your Facebook page or whatever it is, Instagram feed, hashtag feeling grateful. Gratitude is a feeling and it is dependent upon circumstances, often dependent upon circumstances. But I want you to notice that in the Bible and in this story, the word that's used is giving thanks. That's a verb. That is an action. That is a choice. So there are actually moments in our life where we don't feel grateful, but we have the opportunity to give thanks. I may not feel. I may feel overwhelmed. I may feel as if the world is against me, and yet the Bible talks about giving thanks. It's a subtle difference. It's actually a big difference. It's subtle on the surface, but the more you think about it, it's a huge difference. There are moments, look, let's be honest, there are moments when we just feel so grateful, don't we? Good things happen there. It might have been Christmas Day, you saw the whole family together, and there's just a sense of gratitude in your heart. But there are other moments where life seems to be against us, and yet we're still called to give thanks. In the book of Thessalonians, what does it say? In all circumstances, give thanks. Now, this is the second thing I want to draw out this morning about thanksgiving. The Bible doesn't say give thanks for the circumstances. The Bible says in the circumstances, give thanks. So sometimes terrible things happen, and I don't think the Bible is saying be thankful for the terrible things, but what the Apostle Paul teaches the Thessalonians is he says to them, in the midst of difficult moments, give thanks. Look around you and give thanks. So how do we do that? Well, here's a little tip or a couple of tips. Have a look around you and see what's happening. Now, sometimes, and I'll be honest, the past year for me was a very difficult year. And I found it very, very difficult at times to give thanks. In fact, I really struggled with this. And I sat with a very wise person, and he said, Daniel, he said, sometimes when it feels like you're just crawling through life, you've got to go right back to basics. And he said, when you're really struggling with giving thanks, he said, just notice what's going around you. Use your senses. So just for a moment, just follow me on this one. I want you to close your eyes. Just for a moment. And just listen. What do you hear? Some of you might hear the bird in the tree. We're hearing lots of cars, lots of people. And there's a flutter of pages and slight movements around us. We're sitting in a community of brothers and sisters. There's some incredibly beautiful sounding birds outside. that are singing praises to God. Okay, you can open your eyes now. Okay, just very simply, a little exercise. Sometimes when we're struggling, we just need to stop and to use our senses and to become aware of what's going on around us. And so it might be a very simple thing sometimes. There were moments during the year where all I could really do was say something like, Lord, thank you for the blue sky, or thank you for the fresh breeze that I'm feeling in my face. Later that became other things, but there are moments when that's about all you can do, and yet God's word teaches us that in all circumstances we are able to give thanks. And here's the final thing that I want to say about giving thanks, that it's not just about seeing and noticing things about us, but it's also about connecting those things to God. So C.S. Lewis said in his book Letters to Malcolm, he said that gratitude exclaims very properly, "How good of God to give me this." But then he goes on to say that adoration and worship says, "What must be the quality of that being whose far off and momentary decisions are like this?" And so C.S. Lewis says that one's mind runs back up the sunbeam to the sun. I love that phrase, that sentence. So one's mind in worship, in adoration, our minds run back up the sunbeam to the sun itself. We go to the source, to the one who gives to us, and we give thanks to the Lord in worship. Okay, now, let's put this to practice. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads for just a couple of moments, and I want you to just close your eyes, and I want you to just go back over last year, 2023. Sorry, this year, it's not yet finished, 2023. And I want you to think of one or two things that you can give thanks to God for. And just for each one, just a simple prayer of thanksgiving. And how do these two things that you're thanking God for, like the sunbeam, how do they point you back to the sun? How do they point you back to God Himself? Okay, how about we do a little bit of sharing? So let me lay out the ground rule. Got to be brief. It's got to be just one or two sentences maximum. What are you thankful for? I think we can all hear each other okay, so I want to encourage you just to speak up in a loud voice, and those of you who are a game, or maybe those who the Lord, the Spirit is prompting you to, what's one thing that you're thankful for?
Financial provision.
Thank you, Dawn. What else?
God gave me an amazing wife.
Amen.
He said, "You'll have much trouble in this world, but fear not, I've overcome the world."
Amen. Thank you. What else? Okay, yeah, God has led you personally. Wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. What else? Come on, don't be shy. Good health. Thank the Lord for good health. Yeah. What else? Sorry? Brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. What else are we thankful for? Okay. The best of both together. Yeah. What else? Some things you're thankful for as you look back on 2023. God's provision in this church. Yeah. 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 Yes. Yep. Thank the Lord for his great salvation. Here we go. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what else? Someone else said. Yeah, you've got Christian mates to go through uni with. Well done, Elliot. Thank you. Yeah, that's what a big difference that makes. A couple of more things. What else are we thankful for this morning as we look back through 2023? Glory of creation. Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? As we look around. Glad that we've come, and we're glad that you've received us as well. So that's, thank you. Yeah, we appreciate that. A couple more.
I would like to just add to what Anne said.
Yeah.
The fact that you people found this place, and that we have been able to offer opportunities to you, and
yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jim. A couple more, and then we'll finish in a prayer of thanksgiving.
We live in the best country in the world. We didn't have to report it.
Yes, it's true. Yes, it is very true. Lisa? Sorry, can you just speak up a little? Yeah, that God holds us, yeah, and he sees us and he's caring for us, yeah. Thank you, Lisa. Let's bow our heads in prayer, but look, just in this little exercise, in just the space of 3 or 4 minutes, we've so many things we can thank the Lord for. So how about we finish this in a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, as disciples and followers of Jesus, at the very core of our identity, we are people who need to be grateful. When we were completely and totally lost and without remedy for our sin, we thank you that we called out to the Lord Jesus, and in his mercy he answered us with no conditions, with no delays, just requiring faith. And Lord, we want all of our life to be a life lived in gratitude for the mercy and the compassion that the Lord Jesus has shown to us. We do think of Jesus' question this morning, where are the other 9? Lord, help us to be like the Samaritan who returned and threw himself at the feet of Jesus and gave thanks to God. As we look back on 2023, there are high moments and there are deep and dark moments. And we thank you that in both, in the wonderful moments and in the difficult ones, you never left us nor forsook us. You've been faithful Even when we couldn't see what you were doing, you were still leading and guiding. In the moments when we'd lost our health, we hadn't lost your presence. When we could barely stand up and walk through your tender arms and strong care, you were lifting us up and carrying us. And sometimes we didn't even know it. God, we thank you, not just for the blessings, but we thank you for who you are. Because every sunbeam, as we trace its path, it leads us back to the sun. It leads us back to you. So thank you for 2023. Our prayer is, Lord, that as we enter this new year, that we might be more grateful, that we might be more aware of what you're doing, and we might be more willing to pause, to stop, to notice around us, and to give thanks. We pray that out of a deep appreciation and a gratitude for who you are and for what you have done through the Lord Jesus, we pray that all of our life will be like a sweet-smelling offering. It will be pleasing to you. Things that we need to address in our life, please help us to do that. Things that we need to leave behind us, we pray that with your power and your strength, you might help us to do that. Things that we need to sort out, please help us. Give us the strength and the wisdom to know how to do that. And laying behind us and aside every weight that bears down on us, we pray that we might push forward and follow Jesus with everything that we've got. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.